Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may we encounter God's living word. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, St. Luke's, over the last few weeks, we've been on a little bit of a detour, one that goes through John's gospel, the portion that talks to us about bread. You've heard a lot about bread. We've preached a lot about bread. It's always a joy to do so. But today feels very different. Today, we pick up the story exactly where we left off before we moved into John's gospel a few weeks ago. After we've moved past these stories of bread and life in these past few weeks, we are confronting the Pharisees again. And no surprise that there is some disagreement between Jesus and these Pharisees about the appropriate behavior of his disciples. And that is being played out in yet another public space today, something that is a calling out that takes forth in the age-old question that I guess we probably all know from our childhood. Did you wash your hands? It's an interesting question. It's one to play with. It takes me back to my childhood because I never washed my hands. I also never brushed my teeth. That's a different thing. All of us know what it means to be questioned publicly. But this question is one that's not as simple as it sounds. What does it mean to be asked if you have washed your hands? Why are we talking so much about the washing of hands in this space before food is consumed, a food that these disciples apparently shouldn't even be eating? It sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole, so bear with me a little today. Does anyone know why it would be that these people would ask this question and why there might be some confusion in the crowd? It's possible that they're confused because this would have been a practice that was not part of the Torah. Sit with that for a minute. Not part of the Torah. The practice of washing hands was something that would have been very holy, something that you see us even play out to some extent right before Eucharist as we prepare our... Washing of hands has something to do with holiness, with preparation. When I looked a little deeper to try to figure out what this meant, what it means to wash hands, I found myself going through all these ways of understanding how the Jewish people might have approached this task. And it was something that was ritual in nature, something that required great effort, not something that would have been done easily. It would have required very large jars of water that would have been set out for all of you to see as we came through. Jars that would have probably most likely been the same jars you would have seen at the wedding in Cana. Large pots filled with water waiting because you needed help to wash your hands. And you couldn't just pour water and soap the way we would have thought. To be prepared to serve in this way, you couldn't touch. You had to wash your hands with some assistance, using your own back of the hand. So you needed some help. This would have been something that you would have done in the temple, something that the priests would have done. It's not hygienic. It's not even trying to be hygienic. It's trying to make a statement about how we set aside what is holy and how we prepare ourselves to encounter that. So why is it here? Why are we talking about it? There's a clue here. When Jesus' disciples and Jesus are asked, why are your followers not following the tradition of the elders? That's a clue for us to indicate that this is something that was developing over time, a tradition not written down, at least not until the 3rd century as far as we can see, but something that's developing by a very particular group of people, the one that Jesus is always, it seems, in conflict with. These Pharisees. So what's the beef that they have? It's altogether too easy, I think, to assume that this text and any of the other conflicts that Jesus has with these Pharisees are a way of Jesus dismissing something, or telling you that this doesn't matter. But I don't think that's what's happening here. Jesus is not trying to change the tradition, but instead is asking us, inviting all of us still this day, to ask a question about how we define holiness, what that looks like in our lives, and how we prepare ourselves for it. Because the Pharisees, the etymology of that description, just like the word holiness, means to be set apart, to set apart oneself. These Pharisees were searching for holiness. They were searching for the way to bring that holiness into their everyday life. And so in this particular way, this tradition of the washing of hands became something that they tried to move beyond the temple practice directly into everyday life. So it's a pretty good question that they're being asked. Where are your jars? Why have you not washed your hands? A task that they would need to do multiple times during the day. Because what this means is that the Pharisees and all the people trying to find this holiness would understand that they come into contact with the grittiness of life, the stuff of life everywhere. In the market where they bought the food that they were eating, in the crowds that they walked through, bodily stuff that is part of our life, that these Pharisees are asking us, how do we stay holy? The quest for what is holy is something that we should all understand. It's something we all look for as well, isn't it? Whether we take steps in a foreign country for days on end, or come here to sit outside and sweat a holy sweat, we look for holiness. Those little glimpses of what is beyond our understanding, of what tells us of something of the inner makings of who we are. We're on that same quest with them. So we know something about this story. Because we look for what's holy in our world, I believe that the gospel today is a standing reminder for us to pay attention to the things that are most important. Because when we look so hard for holiness that we create all sorts of rubrics around it, well, then we slip into the same trap that the Pharisees did in this case. We look for ways that we are right or wrong, or others are right or wrong, good or evil, worthy or unworthy, dignified or not, worth our attention, are able to be left to fend for themselves. Because that's the easiest thing to do, isn't it? That's the natural thing that we all can do. But Jesus presents a very different perspective. And that, I believe, is why we read this story today. Jesus disagrees with these Pharisees, but that disagreement didn't end there, because we are still talking about it. Jesus is not telling us at all that these rituals are not important, and that is significant for us today. It would be too simple for Jesus to dismiss this, if not outright anti-Semitic. For we know that Jesus spent the majority of his ministry among the Jewish people, his people. So why would Jesus rule this out? It's almost certain that Jesus would have practiced these same rituals in his own way. So he's asking us to look somewhere else, to look into the very messiness of our everyday life, to know that it is indistinguishable from what is holy in everything that we encounter. Jesus is asking us today, I believe, to consider how we are called to fulfill the law with love and not division. Today he does that by breaking through this ritual and pointing to it for us, breaking through the theological safety nets that we can easily construct around almost anything that we do, and moving us to the heart. It's not what goes in the mouth, but what comes out that defiles, Jesus says. And those things that come out, well, there's a whole list of them there for you to think about. I don't know if I'm particularly interested in any particular one of them, but what I would say is that each and every one of the things in that list are everyday bits of our life, things that we do by design or by accident. Slips of the tongue, thoughts and words and actions and inactions that speak to the very heart of how we move through the world. And Jesus tells us today to pay attention to those things that come out, those things that change the way we move through the world, that is the only thing that defiles us. These thoughts and actions that break down the fabric of our connection to each other. The ones that, whether spoken or held in our soul, change our fabric of our own self and legitimize our tendency to other and disenfranchise. This seems to be where Jesus is asking us to look. It seems to be the only place he is paying attention to in this story. So as a society, as a people, as individuals, maybe today we can hear this story anew. Maybe today we can begin to set aside our own desires for correctness and lean into the love that Jesus points us toward, to notice the systems in our own time that lay heavy burdens on our neighbors, to speak, to act, to dismantle those systems just as Jesus did, to care for the most for those who are othered in our world, to lift each other up, to do something. In this moment, in this season, let that kind of love be what comes forth from us always, for it is the only thing that can heal. It is our connection to the divine. Amen.